समन्ता चक्खावलेषु अत्र गच्छन्तु देवता सधम्मं मुनिराजसा सुनन्तु सकमोखदं तम्मा सवनकालो अयं बदन्दा தம்மா சவனா காலோ அயம் பாடண்ட தம்மா சவனா காலோ அயம் பாடண்ட நமோ தஸ பகவது அரஹது சமா சம்புத்தஸ நமோ தஸ பகவது அரஹது சமா சம்புத்தஸ நமோ தஸ பகவது அரஹது சமா சம்புத்தஸ. Okay, so today I would like to share with you the foundation of mindfulness, Satipatthana Sutta. Satipatthana Sutta is very famous discourse during Buddha's time, and also very famous in the Theravada country. Almost all the Theravada country recognize, acknowledge this, the four foundations of mindfulness. For example, in Sri Lanka, most devotees, before they pass away, they will invite monk to recite the foundation of mindfulness to them, so that their mind can they can incline their mind to the practice before they pass away. And this foundation of mindfulness is preached by the Buddha in Majjhima Nikaya number 10, Sutta 10. And there's also one we call the four foundations, the great four foundations of mindfulness, preached in Nikaya Sutta 22. So there are two. One is in Majjhima Nikaya, another one in Dikha Nikaya. You may ask, what is the difference between these two sutta? The foundation of mindfulness we are going to teach now is for Majjhima Nikaya. It is shorter than the great four foundations of mindfulness in Dikha Nikaya. And in Dikha Nikaya, the long discourse, Buddha preached in detail the four noble truths. Especially, Buddha explained very clearly where the craving is the source of our suffering. It's the origin of our suffering, and Buddha explained very clearly where the craving takes roots. From where craving arises, which is very important for a practitioner to know. If we want to overcome our suffering, we must understand the origin of our suffering, which is craving. And Buddha explained where the craving takes root in this in Dikha Nikaya. Then how the craving comes to cessation. So this is clearly explained in Dikha Nikaya. So this is the difference between these two suttas. Okay. And Buddha preached this foundations of mindfulness in Kuru town, a town called Kuru. According to some scholar, they say that this Kuru town is now New Delhi in India, the capital of India now. Buddha chose to preach the foundation of mindfulness in Kuru, the town of Kuru, because the people there, because the people there are highly intelligent. Therefore, Buddha chose this profound discourse to the Kuru people. This is one of the reasons. The second reason is that the people in town of Kuru very keen in learning meditation. Almost everyone has taken up one meditation subject. So when they meet with each other, they didn't ask, "How are you?" They only ask, "What type of meditation you practice?" They ask, "Which kamatana, which meditation subject you have been taking up? Is it anapana, 32 part, 4 elements, or contemplation on feeling, or contemplation on mind, and so on?" So from here we can understand how keen they are to take up the meditation practice. And also the town of Kuru, the climate there and the food there are very pleasant and comfortable for meditation. Therefore, Buddha chose to preach the foundation of mindfulness in town of Kuru. Okay. In the very beginning, Buddha give you the promise and also give you the confidence why you must practice these four foundations of mindfulness. Because Buddha said, because this is the direct path for the purification of beings, for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of pain and grief, for the attainment of true path, and for the realizations of Nibbana, namely the four foundations of mindfulness. So from very beginning, Buddha tell you, why should you take up these four foundations of mindfulness? First, because it can purify your defilements. We have inside our heart, inside our mind, we have a lot of defilements. We have greed, anger, delusion, jealousy, competition, conceit, sloth and torpor, restlessness, and ignorance, right? Without removing all this corruption of the mind, there's no peace, there's no happiness in earth. Therefore, Buddha said, if you practice four foundations of mindfulness, first, you can purify yourself from all the corruptions of mind. This is called purification of beings. And during Buddha's time, there are so many people attain the state of noble one. Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahant, all through the four foundations of mindfulness. This is the first benefit you can get. Okay? The second benefit you can get is for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation. Many people come to appreciate the teaching of the Buddha because of the sorrow and lamentation in their heart. Therefore, they turn away from sensual pleasures. They come to learn the Buddha's teaching because Buddha's teaching asks us. The teaching of the Buddha provides us a way to overcome all our sorrow and lamentation in very bottom of our heart. For example, during Buddha's time, there was a lady called Patachara. Patachara lost her two beloved sons, and her beloved husband, and also her parents in the same day. So her mind was obsessed, overcome by great sorrow and lamentation. And she went mad. She went mad and wandering here and there without wedding any clothing. It's because the mind cannot withstand the loss of beloved one. All her family gone in one day. Then she wander here and there, going crazy. Until one day, suddenly she came in to a place where Buddha was preaching the Dharma. And everybody want to ask her to leave because she's naked. It's so impolite to come into a public naked. But Buddha said, no, Patachara, please come. And Patachara, the moment she listened to Buddha's soothing words, her sorrow suddenly subsided. And her madness also subsided. And she said quietly, listen to the teaching of the Buddha. And she recovered from her madness. After that, she practiced the four foundations of mindfulness and become Arahant. Another story is Kisa Gotami. Kisa Gotami also lost her newborn baby. And she always almost gone mad. She carried her dead body, her dead beloved son's body, and asking for medicine. Her baby already died. How can be cured again? But she cannot accept this fact. And she cannot bear with the sorrow, lamentation, the pain and grief. So carry her baby's dead body, go around and asking for medicine. Until she met with Buddha, Buddha give her a way. Buddha say, you can go, I can give you a medicine, but you need to ask some master seed. Master seed is very It's a spices that used in Indian family. But this master seed must come from a house, from a home, there's no one died before. How can it possible, right? So this Kisa Gotami was very happy, but because her mind is no more normal, she's very happy and carry her baby's dead body and asking for this master seat from home to home, house to house. But everybody told her that I can give you master seat because it's very cheap spices. But my grandparent has died before. My son died before, my sister, brother, cousin, all family. She can't find a family which that never occurred. So suddenly she come to realization that occur at any time, anywhere. Then finally, she asked Buddha for ordination to become nun, to become bhikkhuni. And finally, she practiced the four foundations of mindfulness and become arahant. So Buddha tell us, if we practice these four foundations of mindfulness, we can overcome our grief, our lamentation, our sorrow and pain. And also, for the attainment of the truth path. What is the truth path? The Noble Eightfold Path. So we practice four foundation of mindfulness, then we are walking the Noble Eightfold Path. And finally, we realize Nibbana. So for the realization of Nibbana. So this is the assurance, guarantee that Buddha give us if we practice these four foundations of mindfulness. Okay. So what is this four foundations of mindfulness? Let us understand it in general first. Okay? Number one is body contemplation. Kaya nupasana satipatthana. If you cannot see, you can sit behind. First is kaya nupasana satipatthana, body contemplation. The second one is feeling. Vedana, vedanupasana satipatthana. Number third, mind contemplation. Citta nupasana satipatthana. Number fourth, dhamma nupasana satipatthana. So only four. Okay. Let us see why these four are called four foundations of mindfulness. We always say that you are not mindful. We must practice mindfulness. From where the mindfulness is established? From where? From body, from feeling, from mind or mental states, and from Dhamma. So if we say that you are not mindful, it means that you are not mindful of your body, you are not mindful of your feeling, you are not mindful of your mind, and you are not mindful of Dhamma. So this body, feeling, mind and Dhamma become the foundations, become the basis for a practitioner to establish his or her mindfulness. Understand? Okay. So, apart from this four, there's no other things you can establish your mindfulness. Okay. Let us see the first one first. Body contemplation. Under body contemplation, we have six meditation subjects. Number one is breathing. Anapanasati, we are going to practice for the first few days to build up concentration first. And anapanasati is very useful to overcome restlessness. Second one is four postures. Four postures refer to sitting posture, standing posture, walking posture, and lying posture. But for beginners, we do not encourage you to practice lying posture. Otherwise, you will fall asleep very soon. Only before you go to bed at night, you do lying posture for a while until you fall asleep. Okay? Number third is bodily activities. So today also, we should practice this bodily activities. Bodily activities including all your bodily gestures. For example, you're stretching your hand, then you tasting, moving your mouth, then you shaking your head, or you go urinating, go toilet, eating and drinking and so on. You must try to be aware of that, your bodily activities, so that your mindfulness is continuous, so that your mindfulness will not break here and there. And if you are not mindful, the self, the perception of self is always there. But if you are mindful, let's say you move your hand, you know, wind element. When you chew your food, you note wind element. When you see the saliva come out, then you say water element. So if you are mindful of your bodily activity, at that moment, you are removing the perception of self. You don't think the wind element as self. So I urge you to practice this bodily activity from the very beginning to make it a habit. Okay? Number four is 32 parts. 32 parts. Usually I didn't teach 32 parts because my retreat is very short. In order to learn 32 parts, you have to learn by heart. It takes time to learn by heart, each one. The purpose of practice 32 parts is to overcome the lust for the opposite sex. Because lust or greed is a great hindrance. It's one of the five hindrances that should be overcome before you can develop concentration and wisdom. Therefore, sometimes when the greed and lust that arise in the heart, in the mind, then we contemplate this 32 part to see it as impure, like opposite sex, the body of opposite sex also impure, our own body also impure. And okay, the fifth one is four elements. So today I want to tell you how to practice four elements during eating. We got to start from the very beginning. Okay? So let us understand four elements first. What are the four elements? Number one, earth element, Pathavi Dhatu. Please remember, Pathavi Dhatu, earth element. Earth element has six characteristics, but you don't have to know six. I think know two or three enough. Number one is hardness. When you bite your teeth, please bite. Do you feel hardness? That's called earth element. Teeth is only concept, not ultimate reality. Vipassana is realized ultimate reality. So when we bite, we feel the hardness, we must note, mentally note or mindful that there is earth element. Please start your contemplation during eating, this lunchtime, coming lunchtime. So when you bite, you contemplate earth element. Then after that, when you chew your teeth, lower teeth and upper teeth is moving, right? So this wind element. Then later on, when you chew for quite some time, the saliva start to flow. This flowing is water element. But for most yogi, before the saliva start to flow, they already swallow. They never wait until the saliva start to flow. They already swallow. Why? Because of greed. So they no patience to wait until saliva come up. They already swallow. So when I ask them to contemplate this flowing of saliva, they never understand. And I'm so shocked to know that they never know the saliva is flowing. This means that they don't eat, they don't contemplate during eating. The mind is obsessed by greed. The moment the food touches the tongue, there's so much greed arise. So they have no time, and the mind is, because the mind is defiled, so they cannot see clearly what's happening at that eating moment. So please chew until you feel the saliva flow. Then you contemplate water element. Then you swallow. When you swallow, the wind push the food down. This is called wind element. And sometimes the food touches the tongue, you feel hot, right? The food is hot. Sometimes if it's fruit, it's cold. So when that touch, you feel hot or you feel cold, this is fire element. Okay, let me repeat. Earth element has hardness and softness, roughness. This three enough. You remember, earth element has hardness as characteristic or roughness or softness. So the moment you feel this either hardness, roughness and softness, please be mindful that there is earth element. And anytime when you feel flowing, for example, when you work, you feel the sweat flow down, then contemplate water element. Similarly, when you swallow, saliva flow, then you contemplate water element. Then when you feel hot and cold, contemplate fire element. And when there's any moving, for example, lower T and upper T are moving, then contemplate wind element. So please start your contemplation during lunchtime. Okay, so these are the four elements meditation. If you can contemplate in this way, as I instructed you just now, very soon you will lose your craving because the mind is so busy. Earth element, water element, I don't know what taste already. When you are not aware of the taste, you lose your craving. But if you don't contemplate at all, your mind is attacked by craving, and sometimes you don't even know. You thought you take food is to make the body stronger. In fact, it's no. Okay. The next one is six copes in decay. Nowadays, few people practice this method, so I'm not going to explain to you. So today, we are going to practice mindfulness of breathing. After this talk, they will play how to practice mindfulness of breathing in the library. Whoever want to listen, please go to library. Those who already know how to practice, you stay in the meditation hall. Okay? And also, today we will try to practice also four elements meditation. Here, I would like to suggest you two ways of practice during walking meditation, because we have walking meditation. If you decide you want to practice pure samatha, not mixed with other method, then during walking, you also can contemplate on the breath. You stand still, lifting, breathing in, pushing down, put down, or lifting, one step, breathing, and one step, breathe out, breathing in, breathing out. But if you don't want, you feel that it's very boring all the time, only anapana, there's no wisdom, no understand other method at all, then you say, no, I don't want. I want to also learn other method. Then you can practice four element during walking. Lifting, you see, wind element. Touching the floor, you see, earth element. It calls a heart, right? So lifting, wind element, touching, earth element. Another one, lifting, wind element, touching, earth element. And it's when your concentration become deeper, then you can discern more elements as it appears to your mind. But from the very beginning, you start with two elements enough. Otherwise, your mind get very busy. As concentration deepens, then you are able, you have the ability to discern more elements than you can. So, my teaching, I don't limit one person, you must practice like that, no. You do according to your feeling, how you feel. If you feel that this method you like very much, go ahead. As long as this method is taught by the Buddha. So you find which one is more comfortable for you. Then you practice accordingly. I will guide you along the path. Okay? So, walking and sitting, you either can practice four elements or anapanasati, but eating time, everybody have to practice four elements meditation. To practice anapanasati during eating is very difficult. So, I want you to learn more, because four elements meditation is very helpful to remove the perception of self. Okay, so this is roughly body contemplation, kaya nupasana sati patthana. And Buddha start with body first, not feeling first. Why? Because body is grosser than feeling. So you can feel it very easily. Body is very gross subject. So for beginners, we have to start with the grosser one rather than subtle one. Okay. So the next, feeling contemplation. Feeling is why feeling becomes one of the subject of contemplation. Do you know why? Because of one very important factor. Feeling conditions craving. Pleasant feeling condition craving. And craving is the origin of all sufferings. So if we can contemplate pleasant feeling as impermanent, non-self, then this pleasant feeling will not condition craving. When the pleasant feeling does not condition feeling, we are free from suffering. And for this important factor, feeling becomes one of the contemplation. This is one of the reasons. The second reason is feeling is there all the time, just like the body. Our body is there all the time. Feeling is universal mental factors. It happens anytime, any moment. And it's also very easy to tackle, very easy to detect when there's pleasant feeling. When there's pleasant feeling, do you know there's pleasant feeling in you? Yes or no? Louder. Yes, okay. When you feel unpleasant, when there's unpleasant feeling in you, do you know there's unpleasant feeling in you? Yes. Okay. So when you know there's pleasant feeling, when you know there's unpleasant feeling, this is called mindfulness. But after you know pleasant feeling, do you contemplate this pleasant feeling impermanent or not? Yes or no? Yes or no? No. Okay, when there's a pleasant feeling, you know, and yet you do not contemplate impermanent. What happened to this pleasant feeling? Will it subside or become stronger? Subside or become stronger? Stronger. For most people, become stronger. So when it becomes stronger, definitely it will condition craving to arise. This according to dependent origination. Every morning we recite. Vedana pachaya tanha. Because of feeling, tanha, craving arises. Therefore, and craving pachaya upadana, strong. Upadana means intense craving. Upadana means clinging, intense craving. And when the craving becomes so intense, what are you going to do? What will you do? What will you do? When the craving becomes so intense, your body becomes so hot already, what will you do? You will act according to your mental state, right? For example, craving becomes so strong, so you will take action one. Otherwise, the craving cannot be satiated. So when you take action, this action is called karma in the teaching of the Buddha. That's why craving, clinging, condition, bawa. Bawa means karma. Karma bawa. So when you take action, karma, we also understand when we perform any karma, karma will leave behind energy. This energy will follow our mental stream. When the condition is favorable, this karma will produce its result. We call vipaka, resultant. And we suffer accordingly. When the resultant ripen, we suffer, not other people. Because it's our own karma. Right? So, why we have to suffer? Why we have to suffer? Please answer. Because when pleasant feeling arises, we do not contemplate impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. We entertain this pleasant feeling. So this pleasant feeling grow up to craving, grow up to clinging. When clinging, we cannot stand anymore. We perform karma. When we perform karma, this karma leaves behind karmic energy. When this karmic energy ripens, we suffer accordingly. For this reason, contemplation on feeling become one of the subject of meditation to cut off our craving. Craving is the origin of all suffering. Therefore, as a practitioner, just know unpleasant feeling, or just know pleasant feeling is in your heart, not enough. Not enough. What should we do? We should also contemplate, apply wisdom to contemplate impermanent, impermanent of that feeling. So the moment you contemplate impermanent, 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 then the feeling gradually subsides. It will not grow. It will not develop into clinging. When it does not develop to clinging, then we will not perform karma. Because it already subsides. Therefore, we will not perform karma, especially unwholesome karma. If we do not perform unwholesome karma, there will be no unwholesome resultant. There will not be unwholesome effect. Then we free from that type of suffering. Therefore, from very beginning, I don't want you to practice only Anapanasati. If you want to practice only Anapanasati, you go to concentration, purely concentration camp. But now I'm teaching four foundations of mindfulness. So you also at the same time learn how to practice contemplation on feeling, especially during eating again. Okay, so when the food touches the tongue, sometimes before you can see hot, cold, then the craving already arises, or pleasant feeling. Because Buddha say, Pasa pachaya vedana. Depend on contact. The food contact to the tongue, then feeling, one type of feeling arises. If the food you like, then the pleasant feeling will arise. If that one is the food you do not like, then unpleasant feeling. So you must know pleasant feeling. You must look closely. Oh, this pleasant feeling, then contemplate. Pleasant feeling, pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling is impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. Got it? Understand what I'm trying to tell you? Okay, so during eating time, because feeling is so clear during eating time, so you contemplate for pleasant feeling, this is called mindfulness, then apply wisdom, then say, contemplate feeling impermanent, impermanent, impermanent. I am sure you will see that pleasant feeling pass away one. Because during eating time, maybe 100 of pleasant feeling will arise. If you can only see one passes away, good enough. Okay? Good enough. Then you have confidence. Yes, pleasant feeling is impermanent. Okay. Then tomorrow I will see two pleasant feeling passes away. So one day, every day, at least you see some achievement, some progress. So for lunchtime, I only want you to see one pleasant feeling arises, passes away. If you see one, then the rest you can enjoy your food. Enough for today. Tomorrow I will see two. Otherwise, you say, wow, meditation is so much suffering. I also cannot enjoy my food. So I also cannot press you too much. I let you understand one Dhamma. Next time, you know already. Without me telling you, you know how to contemplate. Okay? So sometimes unpleasant feeling, because you stay within a group. Sleeping time, some people snoring, you cannot sleep. So a lot of unpleasant feeling. At that time, don't hate the person who snore, right? If you hate the person who is snoring, you suffer. She's snoring so happily and you get very angry. So you suffer. She and he doesn't suffer at all. Therefore, you have to contemplate unpleasant feeling, healing, healing, unpleasant feeling, until you fall asleep. Don't make yourself angry. She cannot control one. Snoring cannot be controlled, right? So try to practice patience and take this opportunity to contemplate your unpleasant feeling. As long as you know how to contemplate, then you will stay, you will live peacefully. If you don't know how to contemplate your various emotions, wherever you go, you cannot fit into the environment. You will complain this, finding fault in that, or complaining that. All these are called anger. Anger is one type of five hindrances. When there is hindrances, you cannot develop concentration, neither you can achieve insight. Therefore, as a practitioner, we have to look within. Don't find fault in others. Look within. When there's irritation, note. Now we come to mind contemplation. When there's irritation, contemplate it. Irritating mind. The mind is affected by irritation. Then after that, contemplate it. It's impermanent conditioning. Then gradually it subsides. Then you don't have to react already. Every reaction is karma. Even though your body do not create any bodily karma, but your mental karma is there already. When you get irritated with somebody, then your meditation also gone. You spoil the day, right? Therefore, you must know how to contemplate your mind when there's emotion in your heart, in your mind. This is called mind contemplation. So in mind contemplation, you see, Buddha classified nine types of mind contemplation. Number one is lustful mind. So you must understand your own temperament. Some people born as lustful temperament. Some people born as anger temperament. Some people born as deluded temperament. You must know yourself. So if you are lustful temperament, so you must put more effort to watch your lust. Otherwise, it becomes your hindrance, blocking the progress. So lust usually appear when six sense object, when the sense object come to contact with six sense organ, six sense places. Now, but here during the retreat, you cannot hear music. Therefore, there's no lustful for the music. But there's a lot of lust during eating time. Therefore, just now I share with you how to contemplate four elements. And also how to contemplate feeling, pleasant feeling. If that pleasant feeling conditioned to lust, then you move to contemplation of mind. Contemplate your mental state. Lustful mind. Or a mind is affected by lust as a mind affected by lust. You don't contemplate, I'm lustful, I'm greedy, no. Don't bring in the I, okay? If you bring in the I, you are strengthening the perception of I. The whole practice, finally, is to remove the I. Only then you can become Sotapan. Sotapan has no Sakkaya Ditthi, personality view or identity view. So if you angry, you say, I'm angry, you are strengthened, I am. So you are far away from the goal of the teaching, right? So the way you labor is also very important. So when there's anger mind, you should contemplate the mind affected by anger as a mind affected by anger. Keep on labor in this way. Keep on telling a mind affected by anger as a mind affected by anger. And when your wisdom becomes sharper, you will really see that anger separate from you. you really see it's just a mental state, it's not myself. You will realize it very soon if you can follow what I say. Huh? Not what I say, follow what Buddha say. Okay? So you must make it a habit, especially to me, I think the most important is to contemplate your mind. Why I say so? Because all the defilements, anger, greed, delusion, jealousy, competition, conceit, sloth and torpor, restlessness, all these are mind, mental state. And all this one perform karma. All this anger, delusion, and so on, all this one perform the karma. Without this one arise in the mind, your body will not act one. Your body will not perform unwholesome karma. Only when all these defilements of mind arise in the mind, and you do not know how to contemplate, you do not know how to see it's arising and passing away, then the body follows the defilements. Then we perform the karma. Right? So as a practitioner, if you want to protect yourself, then you have to know how to contemplate your mind. Are you with me? Huh? It's a profound subject. Huh? It's not an easy subject. So I have to check with you first. If you follow me, I continue. If you do not follow, then I stop. Okay? So first, lustful mind. Then second, angry mind. This happen very often during meditation. For example, pain. Very soon, pain arises in you. Do you get angry with the pain? Yes or no? Mostly. Most people, yes. First, no. But when the pain is so unbearable, the mind becomes very irritated. At that time, go back to contemplate your mind. Forget the pain, forget the bodily pain. Don't look at the bodily pain again. The more you look at it, the more painful it becomes. Unless your concentration and wisdom is so strong, the more you look at it, it disappears. Otherwise, the more you look into pain, the more the pain magnifies. So at the time you cannot bear with it, then come back to the mind and see how your mind reacts to the pain. Usually how the mind reacts to the pain? You never experienced pain before in the meditation? Huh? Yes, sir. Have you experienced pain in the meditation? Yes. Is the pain affect your mind? Yes. Then at the time, how you wash your mind? Never wash. How you wash your mind? If you never wash, also never mind, start from today, you have to wash your mind. You check your mind. What is your state now? What is your mental state now? Is it irritated? If yes, then start to note, to label irritating. The mind is affected by irritation as a mind affected by irritation. Again and again, again and again. Then gradually, maybe not in a sitting. After a few times, or after a few sitting, you start to see irritation is a state of mind, nothing to do with myself. If you can achieve that state, congratulations. You start to see non-self nature of your mental state. It's very difficult to see non-self state of mental factor because Buddha said, it has been long, long time already we cling to the mind as I, as myself. Therefore, to see non-self nature of the body is much easier. To see the non-self nature of mind is extremely difficult. So if you can see the mental state separate from yourself, it's your own achievement already. Okay, so next, direct distracted mind. So sometimes when you sit, the mind gets very distracted, then you must note distraction. A mind affected by distraction as a mind affected by distraction. Don't entertain your thought. If you entertain your thought, then you go until 5 minutes, you start to know, too far already. Come back. Huh? As long as you know how to come back, it's also good. Good enough. Huh? The next one. But contracted mind. Contracted mind is slow and proper. For the first 3 days, there's a lot of slow and proper. So when slow and proper, I have one way very effective to overcome slow and proper. But my way needs sharp mindfulness. For example, let's say you are practicing anapanasati. So in a second, you feel that you lose the object. You lose the object. And your mindfulness must be sharp enough to know slow topper is creeping in already. So at the time you try, don't focus on the anapana, breathing in. Then see this mental factor, feel this slow and topper, feel your dullness of your mind. So the moment you are aware, the moment you are aware of the dullness of your mind, the mind immediately becomes clear. However, most people, they don't have this sharpness of mindfulness. When the body start to move or the head start to nod, then they start to nod, slow and topper. Then this too late already. The slow and topper already gain the momentum, already gain the strength to overcome you. So you must train your mind to be sharp. The moment you lose the object, you must know. Or the moment your object becomes a little bit blur, something like that, then you must know the slow and topper is creeping in, then arouse a little bit your energy, your mindfulness, to note that contracted mind as contracted mind. Okay? Okay or not? Okay, maybe now you should start practice already. Somebody already start to feel sleepy. So please note, contract the mind as the mind is affected by contraction. Okay? So this Dhamma can be applied anytime. During listening the Dhamma talk also, you can apply it. Okay, the rest not so important. I'm not going to tell. Okay? Dhamma Nupassana Satipatthana is very profound. I don't think I want to share today because too much. You cannot digest it. When there's time, at least the last day or second last day, I'm going to tell you how this four foundation of mindfulness can practice, can unify together and practice in one sitting. But now I'm not going to tell you because today is only first day. To tell you how to contemplate feeling mind in one section already too much. Okay? So any question? Yes? Okay, good question. When there is no pleasant feeling and neither unpleasant feeling. When there's no pleasant feeling and there's no unpleasant feeling, you must know this neutral feeling. So you check yourself. Is it any unpleasant? No. Is it any pleasant feeling? No. Then your mind is at neutral feeling. Then you note neutral feeling, neutral feeling, neutral feeling. Neutral feeling is impermanent, not myself. Then later on, some pleasant feeling come. Then you know that neutral feeling has passed away already. Otherwise, pleasant feeling cannot come. One time, there arises only one feeling, no two. Okay? This one Buddha mentioned in the text also. Any other question? Deluded mind is the universal unwholesome mental factor. Restlessness is also universal unwholesome mental factor, right? I mean that when there's restless, there is deluded mind also. When there's delusion, there's also restless mind. So you just focus on one. No? You choose one. You can forget the deluded mind. You could just note restless mind. Or sometimes when the mind is not believe in karma, then it's deluded mind. Right? But still also restless. So you just have to choose one. Okay, so enough for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.